Today, a conversation about security in Africa cannot be complete without discussing AFRICOM. For the sake of historians, we know that AFRICOM in its present form began being active on the first day of October the year 2007. And the declared objective is security. One cannot quarrel with that, that the United States of America, being the hegemon as it was for a long time post-war, would want to secure her strategic assets and her geopolitical position by being militarily present in different parts of the world. I've always taken the view, which is subject to debate, that having not been a traditional colonizer in that sense, and having been one of the hegemons that emerged after the Second World War, the appetite of the United States of America to be the policeman of the world is one that we must never wish away. It is in this regard that we know that the United States of America is present in different parts of the world, and Africa is no exception. But she has learned from history, so that her involvement with Africa is not characterized as being dominant, but is characterized as a mutually beneficial relationship. But is it? This is the question that we must pose. Is it a relationship of equals? Is it a relationship that is mutually beneficial? I remember not so long ago when the former president of Tanzania was describing relationship between the United States of America and Africa, and he said, if you have in a boxing match a heavyweight and a lightweight in the same ring, is it a battle of equals? Is it still a game? Or it is murder by another name? He also posed the question, when a rider is riding a horse, is it a relationship of equals, or the rider is the one who dominates the horse? I want to submit that AFRICOM and the relationship between the United States of America and many countries in Africa who operate under AFRICOM is a relationship which is between the horse and the rider. The rider being the United States of America, the horse being the many African countries. And let us interrogate what AFRICOM claims it is doing. Number one, it makes the claim that there is a relationship which is primarily military, and that military relationship requires, among other things, that our various militaries in Africa are trained occasionally, whether in the countries, and some officers then find themselves in different training posts in the United States of America. So training is a major component of it. The other argument is security, that there are many insurgents in African countries, and many African countries are incapable of controlling their boundaries and their borders and their countries, and they do not have the military capacity to engage with these insurgents or to control and be in charge of their boundaries. This is both internal and in the maritime region, whether you are talking about maritime boundaries in the Atlantic Ocean or the Indian Ocean, therefore they are present in that regard. They also make the claim there is a kind of an exchange of dealing with peace, and therefore you need this kind of interaction. And of course, the fourth one, which we don't talk about as we ought to, is the geostrategic position that Africa finds herself and the military complex in the United States of America. If you look at statistics now, and you look at the statistics in the sense that we are talking about the sale of arms, to whom do you sell arms? African countries with 54 odd armed forces is a major market for the arms that have been discarded in the United States of America, and very few African countries ever buy new aircraft or new tanks. This is also a dumping ground. It is also a dumping ground for military equipment. So the presence of AFRICOM is something that we never quite debate in the public domain. Many African countries say this is a no-go area because this concerns our security and we ought not to debate it. Even our national parliaments do not debate the question and issues relating to AFRICOM because this is considered to be top secret, that is the domain of the executive and the domain of the military, and therefore very few of us know what these particular country, the United States of America, through its command, which as we know is headquartered in Germany, does. And that is true not only of Kenya or whichever country is involved in it, but it's true of countries that find themselves under the command, which then begs the question. If we are talking about security and insurgency and control, and at the same time we are talking about independence, what kind of independence do we enjoy when your military and when your activities, particularly of a security nature, are being guided from outside? Number two, does it give us the freedom to enter into collaboration with other countries with whom we may want to be friends? Can we, for example, without being questioned by the United States of America, enter into relationship with China, with Russia, with India, with Brazil, with any other country? The answer is no. You may want to, but there is always Big Brother with a gun on your head telling you, you do this at your own peril. So when we examine AFRICOM without going into the details of it, it must be understood in the context of a world hegemon which is still interested in ensuring that Africa remains under its tutelage, that Africa remains a younger brother over whom there must be oversight. Africa remains a younger brother who must be guided. Africa remains a younger brother, which is a market. Africa remains a younger brother that must be guided in critical areas. Africa remains a continent that is within their sphere of influence, which brings me into a subject that requires a little discussion and interrogation. African countries may make the claim that they enjoy independence. African countries under AFRICOM may make the claim that they indeed, they are in charge and we have no shortage of money that we give to our military. African countries may want to think like that, but we must never forget that geostrategically, in the interest of the United States of America, it is important that they remain in general control. And if you go to many of our African countries, you go to Djibouti, for example, look at some of the major military facilities that are out there. You go to the Western Cape and you see some of the sea-going vessels. You go to the Indian Ocean on the Kenyan part, and we still know that Diego Garcia remains a major outpost for the United States of America, which is controlled largely from Germany under the AFRICOM. You then know that this idea of spheres of control is still something that is very important to a country such as the United States of America. Of course, Egypt's involvement in AFRICOM is one that is always debatable. Sometimes we say they are in, but many times they are not in because the relationship is differently defined. But in a nutshell, we are saying that we as a continent of Africa are still being in many ways controlled by a major foreign power, and it is not going to be easy in the short to medium term to liberate ourselves from their clutches, because the reality is that our militaries in their present constitution and in their present worldview are still being controlled from that particular arena, which in itself is something that is very critical to examine in terms of long-term security. Because if you belong as Africa or the African countries that are under the control or the watch, or if you want the collaboration with the United States of America under AFRICOM, are you safe in the event of war when you are part of an arrangement over which you have no control? Are you safe? Are you a target for others because you are collaborating? Are you safe from their intelligence? Are you safe from their scrutiny? The answer is no. And that is why there are those who are now saying that the time is now to cut the umbilical cord between African countries that are part of the AFRICOM and to reconstitute Africa into an African command which is controlled by Africans, and that if there is any collaboration at all, that collaboration must be between the continent of Africa as uniquely constituted, and if it can't be done with the United States of America, with Russia, with China, and any other country, without other countries being told that you cannot collaborate with Africa because this is our sphere of influence. I look forward to that day, and I look forward to the redefinition of the relationship between African countries in their corporate status and the United States of America, even redefining our training. Remember that under AFRICOM, one of the major components is training, and many African countries find their senior officers being trained in the United States of America, and therefore the military cultures of many African countries is influenced in this regard if they are trained and are commanded from the standpoint of AFRICOM, even when it is physically located in Germany. But of course, the manuals and the modus operandi is fundamentally of an American nature. And we say this not because Africa does not want friends. Africa wants friends, but Africa desires friends who are collaborating from a standpoint of equality, not from a standpoint of domination. Because if you are dominated, even if you are told you are free, your freedom is undermined in very different ways. If you are not in control of your security, then your security can be compromised. If you share your security intelligence with people who are not beholden to you, you are not safe because that intelligence can be manipulated to your detriment. If you are controlled in the name of collaboration through a system whose details you do not understand, it means that you are susceptible to being destroyed at the fall of a penny. And that is something that the continent of Africa, those who are under the tutelage of America through AFRICOM, must begin to interrogate. And it is not lost on me that voices are beginning to rise, which voices are saying the time is now for us to enjoy freedom so that we can renegotiate our collaboration, so that we can rethink our engagement, so that we can have an engagement of equals, not an engagement that is defined by inequality and sometimes contempt. We must move in that direction. Discussions around security is never easy. You never know who your friends and who your enemies are. We are talking about AFRICOM and Africa and the United States of America, but even then, we must say our goodbyes to meet a little later so that we can continue the conversation.